Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway View of GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into the Ryan Kelly Morning After from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. I'm Ben Fredrickson of the Folks Dispatch alongside Doug Vaughn, Iggy, Clousy, Sea Monster behind the glass. I would call this a smaller but a strong crew.
Strong crew is how I would describe
this
it.
This is like when one of your buddies has to work late at a men's league for your men's league softball team, so you just have two outfielders,
right?
Or two infielders, and you kind of just.
But yeah, two of your best infielders, two of your most versatile infielders.
They got a lot of range.
It's Tommy Pham and Sierra in here.
You can almost do without a second baseman in softball. Nobody wants to hit the ground ball to second. The shortstop can cover
the
back.
Shift. Yeah, nobody's hitting ground balls anymore. Yeah. It's all about the launch angle, Doug.
Don't get me started on
launch angle and run differential.
I guess that's something new in softball too. You know what? This year we're going to try to hit fly balls. We're going to try to hit home run. Really, boy, that's something brand new.
You know what they say, Doug? They say the money is in the air.
Yeah. It always has been.
Well, it is more so now.
Well, no, it isn't more so now. It was when Babe Ruth started hitting them out. That's when it started.
That's what they say. It's not what they say. This is the 7 o'clock hour of the Ryan Kelly Morning After, brought to you by Design Air Heating and Cooling, which is donating 2% of all sales from the TMA audience to Three Little Birds for Life. DesignAirService.com is the place to go. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. It's hard to stop this fine program. We're going to have some good guests lined up today. John Orend, the media reporter for the Sports Business Journal, is going to join us at 7:30, 8 o'clock. I know you guys have been waiting on it. WWE recap.
No, I missed Larry the program. Nickel. I missed a program last night. And this is like 30 straight years in a row.
Well, I heard
that. Shame. Maybe you'll have to get to it next year. I didn't watch it, but I saw some tweets about the balls being there.
Yeah. LeVar Ball was on there. You do know your son is the one playing, correct?
It was.
Well, wasn't Lonzo there as well?
Yeah, but I mean, his dad is getting more pub than he is.
And the 15-year-old about got in a fight with Mike the Miz, who's like 35.
Mike the Miz, who really only became famous when he was on The Real World.
Blossomed.
I did watch that, Doug. The Real World.
You ever
watched
that? No.
No, MTV, The Real World, when they put all those kids in the house.
No.
Everybody get all boozed up and hook up and fight. It'd be great.
I used to do a show in the old 5-9 with one of the chicks from The Real World.
Which one?
Ashley Feldman.
She was in, Ashley.
I think, New Orleans.
Oh, New Orleans was a pretty good one.
Yeah, the program director thought it was a good idea to hire her to do a sports show, even though all she knew was women's basketball.
Mm. Well, women's basketball has a big following in St. Louis, I heard.
We talked nonstop about the WNBA.
Well, we should have got her in here for that then.
The Miz was in, what city was he in, Plowsy? You remember?
I can't remember.
Austin? Was it Austin?
One of those cities.
Oh, one of those cities. Good analysis there on the Real World.
There's only a few cities. There's only a few of them, so it had to be one of them.
At 8:30, we'll talk with Derek Gould, Cardinals baseball. The Cardinals got a win last night. And then at 9:15, Vinny Bonsignore. He's going to catch us up on the Rams out in L.A. Okay.
That'll be interesting.
He once referred to St. Louis as a sleepy little city, so we're going to hold him accountable.
Well, I guess next to L.A. or New York or Chicago, that it might be. It might be. But I am somewhat interested in hearing how things are falling apart for the Rams.
Well, I think that's all we care about here.
Right.
I was, we were having that conversation with Brian Curtis not too long ago, and he was asking, well, what's the interest level? And it's like, well, high, as long as the news is negative, which is often. Right. I don't think that's going to change
the uniforms
anytime soon.
They could be the worst I've ever seen. And you have higher up people getting paid good money that look at those, that do renderings, and then that's what they come up with. It's kind of just embarrassing.
We got three different blues now working.
What?
They got new helmets. They're allowed to change their helmets.
What they had was three good ideas. So they decided, well, if we have three good ideas, we'll put them all together and have one really good idea.
Mm. I agree with Vinny, but I have a new slogan for the city: sleep with one eye open city.
That's not bad.
Well, you have a story about keeping one eye open that maybe you'll tell a little bit later. We were thinking
sex trafficking story, I can throw that in there.
We were thinking that the text line might be a little slow today, Doug.
Well, it could be. That's probably a good thing. You don't want a lot of text.
No, I think the more text, the better.
Many are vile, vile, vile.
But your theory is that maybe some listeners got picked up last night.
Oh, I thought probably some of them did.
You went through the story to check. There's some news broke here in St. Louis last night. I'm sure Doug's big channel covered it. But what was the gist of that story?
The gist of it, I don't have it called up now, was that there was like 14 Johns arrested for taking part in some sort of sex trafficking operation.
Not good.
Oh, it's horrible, horrible what they do to some of these girls. But there's like 14 St. Louis guys have been arrested for it. And they had the pictures, and I said, uh-oh, I wonder how many will be listeners to this show. I couldn't identify any listeners.
I didn't see the Johns, but Ben Fred told me there was a lot of goatees, couple mullets, kind of fit the profile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely some rough-looking dudes. Then a couple guys who look like they might be like math teachers at a middle school.
Who are
like
really always going to have some explaining to do.
There are like three in there who look like this was going to be a complete and utter shock to their family.
And they all match they all look like they couldn't get laid. So
this does seem to be the common theme there. But then Iggy goes, oh, yeah, well, I got a story about sex trafficking. And I said, well, you had a big week last week with the Hedo story, so surely you can follow up with this one and try to outdo yourself.
Well, it wasn't sex trafficking.
What was
prostitution?
Well, yeah, that was, I mean, not that you were participating in it.
No.
You were basically attacked.
I was almost a victim of prostitution.
Right.
Sure you were.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners have been to Roxy's. It's a little ways out there.
It's Chris Gardner's favorite bar, or is that Rosie's?
Rosie's.
Oh, okay.
A little bit different.
One of them has a shower and one of them doesn't.
Rosie sells really good coffee, and Roxy's just smells like wet towels and shame.
Mm.
Smells like shame.
Shame and wet towels. But
like you regret having gone there when it's over?
Yeah, it's a dirty place. But I had a girl I was dating who worked there, so.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Oh, what was her name?
I'm sure it's a real name.
Amber? Mercedes?
No, she was Hawaiian. She was Hawaiian.
That's what she said, yeah.
No, she was Hawaiian. I can't remember her name. Lotus, maybe?
Lotus.
Oh, yeah.
And you were dating a gal who was dancing.
Yeah, if you want to call it dating.
How did you all meet?
I go there, pick her up. We go to my house and then make me a sandwich and.
Oh, for crying
out
loud.
Well, it wasn't dating, as in I didn't take her out in public.
Why not?
Well, she was pretty much in public while she was working there.
Well, working, but she'd get done. We go back to my house. I did fly one down to Bermuda one time. I fell in love with this girl.
Who was that?
I'll get to the sex trafficking story here in a minute.
No rush.
No, I was home for
the holidays.
Well, more than that, I would come home right before Christmas, and I wouldn't have to be back until like March, because that's the off season. And we went to PT's, and the most gorgeous. She looked like Joey Heatherton. I'll bring in a picture tomorrow. She looked like a young.
Can you give a reference for people who aren't?
Yes, people who aren't 100.
Spitfire back in the 70s.
A young Joey Heatherton. Just go look up Joey Heatherton. Young.
Perfect sleeper, buy a perfect sleeper, perfect sleeper from Serta.
But we hit it off, and I flew her down to.
Plowsy's shown me a picture. I'm in now.
Oh yeah, she was a.
Well, that's not
a hot number.
A little bit older than that. Don't even look like her. So anyway, but Roxy's is kind of a, I don't know. There's really no class to the place. You walk in, it looks like somebody's garage.
I don't get it.
But anyway, but coming home from there, PT's is a little easy. You've been there, Doug, you know, the exit right there.
Joe fought the timber fake there.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. You come out of PT's, you go down the street, and there's a highway.
Let's be clear, I was there because of a radio station.
But Iggy made it sound like you were rather familiar with it.
But you've been there.
We had a radio station event there.
Yes.
Doug got a VIP parking spot right by the door.
And without the
Does he double park there?
Without the train, it's an easy place to get into. Not so much for Roxy's. So you have to pay attention to 40 because it just like comes up on you.
Stay alert.
And I passed it by. I went right by it.
Right.
God damn it.
Ooh, so you can't say that. You can't say that.
I'm pretty sure I can say damn it.
No, but not with
Don't say it again.
It. No, you can't.
I didn't put a G in front of it.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
He hasn't had enough coffee yet. Oh. Let him slide.
I'm Catholic. I would never say that.
No, well.
So anyway, I make a U, and then there's some cars coming, so I'm off to the side of the road. All of a sudden, these three girls come out of nowhere.
Where do you think they came from?
Nowhere.
Bushes? I don't know. Off the side, I couldn't see them, but they get into the car. Like, excuse me?
Just got right in it.
I thought it was carjacking, but, hey, baby, want a party? No, party. I want to go home. Get out. Well, there's one is going through my glove compartment. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to get killed here. I said, come on, I gotta go home. I gotta turn. How did you get in the car? Get out of here.
Maybe they were just checking your registration.
Well, when they say you want to party, I don't think that's what it meant.
Oh.
And plus, they barely had any clothes on. Anyway, in the rearview mirror, I see a huge dude coming toward the car. Oh, my God. And I hear stories that that's what they do. Guys pull off the side of the road. These hookers get in, and then some of their pimp comes in and just slits your throat and takes your wallet.
Mm.
So I said, look, you got to get out. I said, if you don't get out, I'm just going to go down the highway. I don't care. And the one still got the door open. She just, baby, let's party. I just pushed her out of the car, and I start going. And the other two just jumped out, but I was ready to go. I was also ready to die.
How long ago was this?
Oh, a long time ago. Probably 20 years ago.
Oh.
That's interesting. But
it was a scary, it was a scary night. So just a little tip for the listeners. If you ever go to Roxy's and you miss that turn off to 40.
Just keep going.
Just keep going until you get to another highway. You don't want to turn there.
You were just stopped on the shoulder of the road?
Well, I made the U, but then there were cars coming.
Oh.
So I had to wait till the cars came before I could go. And
so you're sitting there monitoring the road. Next thing you know, all three doors open.
Well, I'm looking at the rearview mirror, and all of a sudden they came from the other side and got in the passenger side, and the other ones got in the back door.
Locking the doors would probably be a good idea as well.
Well, could have, but I don't have. At the time, I don't think the car I had power locks.
You would have had to reach back into the back seat. And actually, that's a pain. You don't want to do that.
No, I wouldn't have had my Beetle yet. So I probably had my mom's old car, which is a Buick Century. Which I don't even think the door's locked.
No, people are saying you're lying about this. Why would you lie about this?
I'm gonna lie. Yeah, I'm gonna lie about it. I really look cool getting almost killed and carjacked by three hookers. That's really a fun story.
But you were a chick magnet in that Buick Century.
Oh yeah, I got three of them right off the bat. Right off the bat, they couldn't. Look at this ride this dude's got. He's got to have lots of money. Girls, you see what I'm driving? I have no money. Get out.
Now, Butch Patrick's werewolf doll says those women who got Niggy's car were never heard from again. Surely that can't be true.
I never heard from him again.
No.
Thank God.
None of us heard from him.
Hopefully none of you guys heard from
him. Some of those guys in that story today might have heard from him.
Yes, they may have.
I'll tell people. You can say, I don't lie. I don't make up stories. Again, I can't help it. My life is more interesting than yours.
Wow.
Well,
of course, you don't want the life I had in that situation. I don't think you want three hookers getting into your car.
No.
Going through your glove compartment. What do you got in here? Here, you want the registration? Get out.
I expect if you're coming home really late at night from Roxy's, all kinds of weird things would happen to you.
Well, if you just keep going and get on the highway and get the hell out of, it's not Sauget. What's the city that Roxy's is in?
Clousy?
I don't know.
No, Sauget is PT's. It's way down there. It's way past Sauget.
Not Centerville, is it?
There is a PT's in Centerville. That's where the swinging goes on Saturday nights.
Oh, big pineapple crowd there. The pineapple movement has really taken off. I think it's the summer of the pineapple.
Brooklyn?
Brooklyn, that's it. Thanks,
where
buddy.
Where Brooklyn at?
Yeah, Centerville is the PT's where, and I didn't know this, because actually the girl that I was, I'm not going to say dating, we went there one night. She goes, oh, we got to go Saturday night. We'll go to the Centerville. It's so much fun. She goes, just people get up on stage and just they're having sex acts and things.
What?
This was Joey Heatherton again?
No, this is the Hawaiian chick.
Oh,
Lotus.
Don Ho's daughter.
Yes. The one I brought down to Bermuda.
You said Lotus used to come over and eat sandwiches.
Well, before she left, I told her to make me a sandwich.
Did she ever just take money from your wallet as she was leaving?
No, she's actually a very nice girl. Okay. And very smart, too.
I bet.
But, Joey Heatherton was flew her down for a week, and I saw her once. The night she got in.
Where'd she go?
She just disappeared, and there's a.
She found something better?
No, there's a naval base. I guess she just wanted the free trip.
She
and then
swam
fun.
After a troop ship?
There's a naval base on Bermuda, and somehow she met some guys at the naval base, and she was just staying out there for 6 days.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. My girlfriend left me for the Navy.
Glad I could fly you down and just spend the rest of the week over there with the Navy boys.
Mm.
I saw her like then, and then she came back to get her stuff when she needed to change.
Oh, she left her stuff with you?
Well, yeah. Just came back and changed clothes.
Hey, Iggy,
clothes
hold this. I'll be back in 7 days.
No, she would just come in and change, and I said, you having fun? Yeah, I hope you don't mind. You didn't expect me to just stay here all week, did you? Well, I flew you down. Trash.
And then she went to a Navy boat.
Well, there's a naval yard there.
She supported the troops.
There's a base.
I don't know why Doug hates supporting the troops.
There's an American base.
Seems un-American.
Where we had a couple guys we knew, and we'd get McDonald's there. There was a McDonald's on the base. That's the only McDonald's in Bermuda. It was on the naval base, so... I don't even know what story I'm telling. I'm sure the listener's saying that's
well,
good.
Well, this is
Stop.
The story where you fly the girl down to Bermuda and then she hangs out with the Navy.
Oh, I was talking about Centerville. This fits right in with our swinger crowd. And if you've been to, and this isn't a lie, you can people that have been to Centerville can verify this. But we're up on the stage just dancing. I look over there and there's a little handwork going on there. But but around the stage,
around it,
there's chairs. Stupid. And these old men, not some of them not so old, get there early and get their seats, and they sit by the dance floor with flashlights because it's kind of dark, you know, it's just the flashing lights while you're dancing.
Oh, no.
And they have the flashlights going through the crowd to see if there's any sex going on so they can watch.
No, they don't.
And they're all got these big coats on. I'm like, this is the creepiest
this
thing I've ever
you,
seen.
This is where you hung out?
Well, I didn't hang out there. She took me there one night. I'm
that's
not a big
where you go when you never have seen again. That kind of seems awesome.
If anybody's been to Centerville and can verify this, call in or text in.
Depths of society right there.
Because it was the most perverted thing I've ever seen in my life.
That still go on over there?
I haven't been there in years.
It seems like a nice spot for a remote.
But I'm heard it's the swingers night where you just go up on stage and you're kind of swapping and going on like in little groups and stuff. But just seeing all these old men in their chairs with flashlights looking through the stage.
Is that like a flash to the future? Like Ghost of Iggy Future? Do you feel like that was a sign?
Yeah,
a
maybe
bit?
I'll go this weekend. We're still going on. And these guys, no lot, these guys would bring extra batteries in case their flashlights went out. They'd have pockets filled with batteries, and if their flashlight went out, they'd put batteries in.
Mm. Wow.
So there you go. I'm done. I'm done for the day. I've told you every story I can think of, so we're done.
That really escalated quickly.
I wasn't here yesterday,
I mean,
so
I
made up for that.
People were dying to talk about that big win against the Reds last night, but I guess they're just going to have to wait a little
nice
bit,
W.
Doug.
Nice little W for us. Hello, Gritchick.
Gritchy's back!
Mm-hmm.
Are you happy to see that?
Oh, yeah.
More so than if another player was on a hot streak.
Oh, I don't. Maybe just because he seems to have so much potential. It seems like he
not
could be.
Not because of your bond.
No, we don't really have a bond. It seems like he could be a star. It just does. He's got so much potential.
Because of the twinkle in his eye? Is
no,
that why?
Because of his power. He hits.
The Cardinals have now scored 8 runs in back-to-back games, which is a nice little display of offense. To me, yesterday, the big news was Michael Wacha. Looking like a
downward
looking
plane.
Like a solid pitcher again. He got on top of the ball, Doug. Uh-huh. That downward plane.
Only pitcher in
it's hard to
league.
Hit when the angle's that steep.
Right, downward plane.
He's a tall fella, and his release angles, when his release point's right, that downward plane, it's tough to hit.
There aren't any other tall pitchers in baseball. He's
I
got
to imagine
one.
It's like trying to get it on an escalator that's moving. I mean, it's so steep, it's just hard to get aboard.
Except on the days when he's not pitching very well,
correct.
And then it's not so difficult.
Well, then the downward plane is leveled out. It's not good. But anyway, Michael Wacha, first quality start, and only second quality start in his last, six or seven appearances. I think a lot of people, myself included, were saying, this guy's got to go to the bullpen. This isn't going to work. Mike Matheny saying, hey, it wasn't that long ago that he was pitching really well to start the season. We're not going to give up on him yet. And that mentality certainly paid off yesterday. So credit where it's due. Now, we'll see if he can keep this going because he does pitch a lot better at home. And if he can get, I guess his next start will also be at home. So maybe he can get some traction going here. But it was looking rough, but he certainly had a bounce back performance yesterday. And then you have Randall Gritchick, who has, you get mixed reviews. Has he changed his swing or has he just stopped thinking about his swing so much? Because Matheny makes it sound like he was sent down for like a calculated plan on how to fix things. He makes it sound like he went down just to get a refresh and to stop thinking so much about his swing. But whatever he did, it's working now. And also Tommy Pham is playing like a superhero. I mean, the guy gets on base last night with a walk, goes to second on one of the crazier tag-up plays you'll see, steals third, and then scores at home on a pass ball, scored before the Cardinals got a hit. And he's been outstanding defensively. And I think, in my opinion, Tommy Pham is kind of emerging as the leader of this team. Just by the way that he plays and how hard he plays. He doesn't take days off. He doesn't take a pitch off, as Matheny said. And I think the Cardinals might want to fall behind him a little bit.
Yeah, I like the way he plays, too. He's kind of intense. He's kind of a no-nonsense guy. He'll try to take the extra base. He dives all over the place. He was on base 4 times yesterday, scored 3 runs. They're going to have a real decision to make what to do when Fowler gets off the DL. And you've got Gritchick, if he's still swinging the bat well, and Pham and Fowler and Piscotty. Who are you going to put on the bench?
Yeah, I guess Gritchick is kind of in that spot where he's kind of the fourth outfielder type now. But you know, if he's hitting like that, he's gonna hit home runs like that. It's hard not to play him.
Yeah.
One thing I think they should consider is playing Dexter Fowler in the corner spot. I mean, Dexter Fowler, when he went out, was hitting incredibly well. I mean, his bat is needed in this offense, but his defense hasn't been jaw-dropping this season, and I think part of that has been because his heel is messed up and it's caused leg issues and it's probably slowed up his routes and caused some problems. I don't know. He's gonna be in a corner spot eventually. Mm-hmm. With the way that Pham is playing, I don't know why you wouldn't want to have your fastest and, you know, most rangiest.
Don't say rangiest.
Why not?
I just don't like the word, but go ahead.
These things rangiest have a way of...
outfielder in center field.
Yeah.
Well, they have a way of evening themselves out. I mean, Grichuk wouldn't be up here unless Fowler went on the DL.
Probably.
That was the way he was going to get back up here. So, you know, 10 days from now, 12 days from now, Fowler comes back. Maybe Pham cools off. He's hitting one for his last 16, or Grichuk cools off, or Piscotty has a few bad games. I mean, there's always ways of getting your fourth outfielder in there.
And Jose Martinez hits when he gets the chance, too.
Right. It's not like he's just completely falling apart.
At least he can play first base, so.
I don't know if we overvalue these guys just because they're our guys or if there really is some trade bait there among those five outfielders.
Well, I think there would be, especially if Grichuk can show some power, which he's doing so far. You got to think that kind of refreshes everybody's eyes on him. I mean, Luke Voit is a guy who has shown he can hit. So he's going to get a chance now. I don't know what Luke Voit's in the long-term plans for this team, but it certainly helps his case to get up here and show that he can hit at a major league level. So part of that is I think the Cardinals have to see what they have, and the league needs to see what they have before they try to decide what they're going to do here. But we got some important games coming up for this team. I mean, you got three at Arizona. Arizona's been incredible this season, followed by three games with Washington when they come to town. So you're going from playing these teams that aren't good to playing some of the best teams in baseball. So you're going to find out now whether this is fool's gold against Pittsburgh in the last game in Cincinnati, or if this is just kind of the same thing we've seen all season where this team can beat up on bad teams, but they're just going to get boat raced against good teams.
Don't say fool's gold.
Why not?
So you think Luke Voit is the trade bait, or you think maybe Carpenter is the trade bait?
Well, I don't think either of them's untradeable. I think the Cardinals would have a hard time trading Matt Carpenter, though.
I think they view him
as a cornerstone player. But other than Carlos, I don't know that anyone's off limits. I don't think they're actively looking to move Carpenter.
No, I wouldn't think so.
I know injuries always happen, but it feels like you have significant depth at the outfield position that even if you're not sellers before the deadline, it feels like you should free up some of that. You have Bader and Sierra, then you have, you know, obviously Fowler, Piscotty, Pham, Martinez, Grichuk. I mean, even if you're not trying to sell, shouldn't you try to trade some of these assets at their peak? Because, you know, in a couple years, you're going to want Sierra up there, maybe see what Bader has a chance. You're just not going to have that room.
You just wonder how much peak they're at, really. If other teams look at these guys and say, Grichuk, let's see, is it 232? Piscotty, 254?
Well, I'm not saying they're at their peak.
They don't look at the batting average, Doug. They look at the scouts.
Yeah, they look at potential.
Yeah, well, I think they look at the same things.
They look at the tools.
We look at.
They're toolsy. Is he a toolsy guy?
That's why I say I wonder, do we overvalue them just because they're Cardinals and we've seen them when they're good and other teams generally see the bigger picture and wonder if those are guys that are really going to turn them around.
I do like, I feel like one of the themes that has kind of emerged, and I think Derek Gould captured it in his story in today's paper, is this team is basically the guys who have the most to prove are kind of starting to emerge a little bit, and that's kind of fitting for a team that's in the same spot. I mean, Michael Wacha is about to get bounced from the rotation. He goes out there and has one of his better starts of the season. Tommy Pham feels like if he misses every time he strikes out, he's going to disappear. Because that's what his career has taught him. Either he's going to get hurt, or Matheny's going to bench him, or they're going to demote him. So he feels like he has to perform every single day, whether it's throwing someone out from the outfield or stealing a base or getting a home run. You know, and now Randall heard what Mo said about this being a sink or swim time, so he knows that this could be it for him. And to me, a team that season is going down the drain, it often looks, would be wise to have some guys who feel like they have to go out there and prove themselves every single day. You know, too many times this team has looked like it's gone out. It goes out there and has a full season left to play. I mean, we've seen kind of a lot of lackadaisical, a lot of, well, it's a long season, a lot of, we'll get this fixed eventually.
Mm-hmm.
There's not time for that anymore. mean, if you have guys who are going to go out there and play like their hair's on fire, put them in.
Mm-hmm.
And if they fall off or fall apart, then put someone else in. You got to see what you have, because what you're doing wasn't working.
Right. I'm just afraid that it's a full team full of guys who are just pretty good.
That's fair, yeah.
I mean, they don't have any stars. And you look at the premier teams just in the National League, I mean, they've got star, big-time players. Washington's got the Bryce Harpers and the Trey Turners and the Max Scherzers, and the Dodgers have got Kershaw, and now Bellinger has emerged as a star. And the Rockies have got Nolan Arenado. And who do the Cardinals have that's even close to ability of those guys?
I mean, Carlos Martinez, and then there's a pretty steep fall-off.
Yeah,
Hoffman.
Matt Carpenter certainly has a good reputation, but you know, Dexter Fowler was, you know, celebrated in Chicago, but he wasn't necessarily the star of the team.
No, not on the level of those other guys.
But yeah, there's a pretty steep fall off there.
Well, when have you had one other than Pujols?
Well, we haven't. I mean, Holiday to some degree when he was.
Yeah, Holiday
really
was a perennial All Star, and Jim Edwards was no slouch.
Right.
Scott Rowland going back a few years before that, and Molina has been one of the premier catchers in the game. I'm not sure that he is anymore, but and Wainwright was a Cy Young contender there for two or three years in a row.
Well, I was talking offensively, but yeah, I mean, a guy that you feared, Holiday to a point, Rowland a clutch player, but he wasn't going to hit 40 home runs and drive in 120. We're talking about those guys, like
no, but perennial all-stars.
Yeah, but.
They don't have that guy now.
I wouldn't say superstar.
Well, that's what they need. I mean, it's in whether they're going to get it in a trade or whether they're going to go big after that free agent class that's coming. You know, the Manny Machados and the Bryce Harpers. I know a lot of Cardinals fans go, yeah, right, they're going to go sign one of those guys. But they need a corner. At some point, they're going to have to find a middle-of-the-order bat.
Or two
that other teams are afraid of. And they don't have that. They don't have that right now. We can break down more Cardinals baseball with Derek. He's going to join us at 8:30 here on the program. Coming up, we're going to have, we're going to have John Oren, the media reporter for the Sports Business Journal. He just did a big deep dive on ESPN, taking the pulse of ESPN. It's on sportsbusinessdaily.com. Here's the subhead here, Doug. Sports media giant is on the defensive about a declining subscriber base, layoffs, and executive changes. What happened? And what's the plan for the future? You can read it on the web. You can follow John Oren on Twitter. He joins us now on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. John, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Happy to do it, man.
I guess let's just start here. I mean, I think a lot of people in the media industry, a lot of fans, folks who watch ESPN for the programming but also for the games, were a little alarmed, maybe a little lost when they found out that all these layoffs were happening. People they've known for years and years, people who really kind of made their name at the company. What was your interpretation of that move? And as a sports media reporter, what was your kind of motivation to write this piece?
Well, the motivation to write that piece was basically stemming from the layoffs, and everybody has been talking about the cable industry or the media industry as shedding subscribers. Everybody's talking about cord cutting now as a sort of de rigueur to the industry. And they're talking about rights fees. Rights fees were up. And so that's whenever anybody talked about ESPN or Fox Sports 1 or NBC, it's always, okay, they're losing subscribers and they're paying more in rights. And so that's what's happening. And it seems so basic to me, but I just wanted to go back and document, like, at what point did they have a choice to make to where they made a certain choice and it went, they being ESPN, and it went in a certain way. And I just thought that, I wanted to tell that story. How did ESPN get to where it is, and where is it headed? And I think what I found out was that, you know, they've made a conscious decision to spend more in right on certain rights, like the NBA rights, because they feel like even with a declining subscriber base, these rights are so much more valuable than they used to be. And the NBA deal just started. They just had the layoffs. But if you talk to the senior executives, not the rank and file, but the senior executives in Bristol, they feel like they're really well situated for the future. And there's a lot of optimism among the senior executives. Among the rank and file that experienced a lot of the layoffs that you just referenced, there's a lot more pessimism about it. But the people in charge, they have a vision and they're executing that vision. And my job is to see whether they meet that vision or not.
You mentioned your story. You lead with the meeting in 2014 where ESPN kind of decided to go all in its pursuit of this NBA contract. Just a crazy rights deal that kind of, I guess, set the tone for everything that's come since then. So it seems like what ESPN is betting on is that, realizing in the DVR age, live sports are going to be where the money is, at the expense of anything else. That's going to be first and foremost, even if they have to cut on-air talent, cut writers, whatever they have to do to be able to fulfill those contracts.
Yeah, and not all live sports. So the ESPN has made its bet with the NFL. It's made its bet with the NBA. It has a long-term deal with baseball. It's huge in college sports, as you know. But you know, it let NASCAR walk away from it. It didn't renew the British Open for golf. It really didn't put in a competitive bid for the Olympics when those came up. So there are certain sports that ESPN is deciding we want these sports and we are going to pay top dollar to get these sports rights. And other sports, you know, will especially sort of, you know, mid-level sports that don't bring in a big audience and don't convince people to, you know, buy a cable subscription, they're not going to be spending on those anymore.
Are they in a situation now where they're losing money or just not making the kind of money that they were used to?
Well, that's a funny thing, and that's another reason I wanted to write this. ESPN is doing great. I would love to have ESPN's business right now. ESPN is still printing money. It's still bringing in a ton of money. The problem is they're bringing in more money than they brought last year. The problem is that their rate of growth is slowing. So whereas they used to bring in 7% more in revenue every single year, now it's 4% more in revenue, and Disney used to bank and count on getting that 7% number, but now that it's down to, like, you know, 2%, 3%, and 4%, all of a sudden, you know, everybody's raising their hands and saying, "Oh, you know, life is tough." That's still a healthy figure. They're still very powerful, and they still have these rights long term. So, the big question is, how far will the subscribers drop, and how much can ESPN sort of withstand that?
Yeah, and you know, if you look at it in the long run, I mean, Ed Werder, those are the guys that people are talking about, guys like that have been there for a long time, but and certain people that whether it be Jason Stark, but in the scheme of things, I mean, ESPN can probably look at it and say, look, they've been here for a long time, they're making pretty good money, but are people going to stop watching our coverage? Are people going to stop reading ESPN the magazine because these guys are gone? So, you know, it's a cost cutting thing. But it wasn't like there were these huge superstars that are getting rid of that are making $2 million a year.
Yeah, I hate to say it because Ed did a great job.
Yeah, they did.
I don't think anybody is getting their cable subscription because of Ed Werder's reports on ESPN. I don't think anybody's necessarily tuning into NFL Live or SportsCenter for those reports. And I think that's sort of the decision that ESPN made. One of the things I wrote about in the story is, when Fox Sports 1 and NBC Sports Network relaunched back about 4 years ago, you know, some of the on-air talent, ESPN was terrified was going to go to Fox Sports 1 or NBC Sports Network, and it was going to almost validate them, they thought. So there became almost an unnatural bubble. I mean, you want to talk about a sports right bubble. There was actually a talent bubble of salaries. And I think ESPN insiders now say they actually did overpay for a lot of people in order to keep them from going to the competitors when they didn't really need to. And part of the layoffs came resulted from that.
I think it's shocking to younger viewers and fans because I'm 27. When I was in journalism school, like some of you got a job at ESPN, like they were made, like it was over, like it was the crowning achievement. You know, they were on the thing that produced SportsCenter, whether you were writing for covering a team or whether you were, you know, a producer. ESPN was supposed to be the place that you went and never left. Do you view the title of ESPN, do you see that falling in terms of in the media? I mean, it seems like some people, as you mentioned in your story, like are rooting for ESPN to fail. Other people are very concerned that if ESPN can't hold on to the Ed Werders of the world, then who will? How do you view that in terms of its kind of standing within media circles?
Two things. One is, like, when you're referencing you know, they decided they were going to go hyper local and they were going to take on, you know, local, like the Dispatch's sports page, or, you know, they were up in Boston. So they were taking on the Boston Globe sports page, and they were, you know, they were getting beat writers for all the Boston teams. And they thought that they could solve the problem that's affected journalism for 30 years, 40 years. And they couldn't. I mean, the problems in journalism are pretty real, and ESPN could not solve those. And so that's part of what happened. The other one is, I think ESPN, and also I would take a little bit of an exception that, you know, that they're not turning their back on journalism. They're making cuts that every media company I've been a part of has had to make cuts.
Sure.
in my career. And that's what they did. But they still have, you know, Dan Vinata is a Pulitzer Prize winner. You know, they still have Outside the Lines and Bob Lee, you know, hosting that. So they had to cut some really good journalists, and that's always awful to see. And Fox Sports just did it yesterday, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
But ESPN still has a commitment to journalism, and they still have some top flight A1 fantastic reporters on their staff.
With rights fees continuing to go up and ESPN apparently willing to pay them, do you think they ever run the risk of a lot of the cable outlets just dropping ESPN, saying as they try to pass the charges on to the cable companies? Like the cable companies, like they did in LA with the Dodger games, the cable companies at some point will say, no, we're not going to carry ESPN anymore.
No, ESPN does a nice job with their affiliates, and even though they pay a lot, the cable operators tend to like ESPN, and they get a lot of sort of ad breaks in there that cable operators can sell, sort of local ad breaks, so they get some revenue from it. ESPN does a really nice job of marketing the cable to the cable operators, or allowing the cable operators to market, excuse me. But the for me, sort of the main point is that, you know, ESPN still has the college football playoff. So if you're interested in college football, you're going to want to see that playoff. I mean, how many people would shed their cable subscription and get, say, Hulu in order to see the college football playoff? I think probably a lot. I don't think the cable operators want to test that. And it's not just the college football playoff. It's all the way through, like I said, college sports, the NBA playoffs, the NFL, during the regular season. They have the top sports in the U.S., and it would be really tough for a cable operator to drop them.
One of the things that became very much discussed after the layoffs, and anytime ESPN makes moves, people debate why it happened and what was really behind it and all the other things that come along with it. One of the comments, I think this is, well, I saw Jason Whitlock's article in the Wall Street Journal about it, even as a former ESPN employee. His theory is that so-called liberal coverage that ESPN leans toward was affecting some viewers. Other people are saying, no, it's strictly because of cable cutting. Do you think ESPN's kind of, I guess, some labeling of a liberal sports outlet with those political views, do you think that's had an effect in any of this, or is that overblown?
I think it's overblown. I think it's a shade of gray. I think that there's a problem that ESPN is trying to address where they come across as too liberal, or certainly more liberal than conservative. Sort of they're taking a viewpoint, and that's something that they want to address. But the fact that the idea that, you know, a certain political stance has hurt their business is there's no evidence of that whatsoever, and certainly not among cable operators or among, you know, the rights deal. That was another reason I wanted to do that story too. It's sort of, I wanted to demonstrate that, you know, it was bigger rights and it was cord cutters, that it was sort of like a perfect storm that just sort of hit ESPN at this moment that caused some of the problems that they're experiencing.
You can find the story, Taking the Pulse of ESPN, the Sports Business Journal story, sportsbusinessdaily.com. John, thanks so much for your time today.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, thanks, John.
We appreciate it. Well, Doug, I guess your dream of getting the Sports Center desk for the evening's final Sports Center show might be going down the tubes with all this change.
You mean my dream of moving there and being a part of that?
Yeah, just being in I've Bristol, being really the top dog in Bristol.
Never really had that dream.
Walking to your desk, Chris Berman there. Okay, Bermsy.
Yeah, that's just who you want to see when you go there, is Chris Berman.
I'd run the other way.
Now, I heard stories when I went
there. Hey, Van Peltzy.
Because I used to know a lot of producers there. And when I went up for my interview, you know, you had time in between meetings and talking to some of the producers. The people that really have no job security are the PAs, production assistants, because they work your ass off. You're going from one doc to another, just doing everybody's editing. You're working like 10-hour, 11-hour days, and you're getting paid crap. And when you quit, there's just, go ahead, quit. We've got 19,000 people that want your job.
Right.
And
that
was like,
true.
PAs were like, you're lucky if you lasted 3 months there. So you just hear horror stories about the way some of the underlings are treated, not the bigwigs.
Some of the texters are disagreeing about ESPN not having a liberal bias. 314 says, anyone who thinks ESPN is not liberal is not living in reality. Hall of Famer Dave says, ask him why so many Republicans have dropped ESPN. Do you agree with that?
I think they have a far left liberal bias, yes, but I don't think sports fans would drop them because of that. If you want to watch the game, you got to watch the game.
I think it's just dry anchors. For me, it's not cable cutting or anything like that. It's just East Coast, West Coast bias. They got a studio in L.A. They got a studio in the East Coast, and it's all New England Patriots, all the Lakers. And it used to be when I was a kid, they would show highlights from everything. I'm talking cricket, all the baseball highlights, and there'd be in-depth two-minute highlights rather than, oh, here's a home run in the seventh, and here's Chapman with the final pitch, and here's the final score. To me, the anchors are bland. They have no... I think they just get trained to be robots, take them in and out of break. The interviews are dry. The people they have on, and just not good product in comparison to what it was. That, to me, is why... One of many reasons, the main reason why I don't watch ESPN anymore, because there's just no entertainment whatsoever. And when they try to be entertaining, it's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, there's some exceptions. I think Scott Van Pelt does a good job.
I think he's fantastic.
He gave Luke Voigt a shout-out last night on his sports center.
Did he?
Specifically,
Kenny Mayne is funny.
But some of these guys, I think part of it, too,
John Anderson's another guy.
Right. Those guys are hard to beat, and also we're most familiar with them.
Yeah.
And also that job probably... Now is not as good as it was then, so I don't know that you're always going to have the next John Anderson or Kenny Mayne, but that is, I think, when I turn on SportsCenter, it used to be more of an event when you had two guys who you knew, who you were looking forward to how they were going to give you highlights. But also, too, remember that by the time you see the highlights on SportsCenter now, you've already seen them. You've seen them on Twitter. You've seen them. You can't not see highlights before you get to there. So it's a little bit of a different dynamic there.
Well, you get spoiled because, look, you're not... ever going to get another Dan Patrick, Keith Olbermann combination.
Stuart Scott.
You know, because you're used to all those guys are great. And then whoever you put in there isn't going to be as funny or as good. So you think, oh, my God, this sucks.
Yeah.
You know, they have to grow on you. And it depends what you're looking. Are you looking for funny? You know, where you have two guys that have the camaraderie like Patrick and Olbermann did that you knew it was going to be a fun night. Or you just have two guys that are just talking sports and, you know, they're blasé.
And some of the top guys have moved on to local jobs that might actually pay them more, in some cases.
Yeah, Dan Patrick is making a killing from DirecTV and doing all that. I mean,
did you ever have any former ESPN bigwig try to come into St. Louis and take a shot at your title, Doug? Say, pick another city, pal.
Yeah, we did have a couple of guys. The guy who...
Trey Wingo, every time Trey Wingo comes back from vacation, or this family, you're standing outside his driveway shaking your fists at him saying, stay out of here, Wingo!
Steve Schiff, probably.
No, he went on and had a talk show, a national talk show. Craig Kilborn was in there one day interviewing.
He ruffled your feathers a little bit?
No, he didn't ruffle my feathers. He was very nice. He was interviewing
for some reason. Yeah, it makes sense for him to be nice.
He's just probably going back 20 years.
He was good in Wedding Crashers, I thought.
Yeah.
People are asking John Orion, why wouldn't he... You know, he's not, they're asking if he's on the ESPN payroll. No, he's not. He writes for Sports Business Journal. And also, he did some of the best coverage when the Rams were leaving for Los Angeles as well.
Maybe he's
wasn't, and it wasn't, it was not pro Los Angeles coverage like a lot of it you saw. He was one of the guys who were kind of interested in how St. Louis was getting robbed. So read some of his work. You might change your
opinion. Maybe he's bucking for
a
job.
Bit.
Didn't Darren Revelle used to work for Sports Business Journal?
I don't think ESPN is going to hire someone who reports on the media, really. I mean, Darren Revelle doesn't really report on the media. He just tweets. I don't even know what he does.
He used to write for Sports Business Journal, and now I believe he's with ESPN, isn't he?
He is with ESPN, yes. I'm not really sure what his job is, though.
You've heard what's happened to the Dodgers out there in L.A., haven't you?
Nobody can watch the games.
Right. They charge so much money.
They won't compromise.
Yeah, such a huge price for televising Dodger games. And then they tried to pass that on to the the various cable outlets out there in Southern California, and I guess all but one said, no thanks, it's too expensive, so the Dodger games aren't on. Most people in L.A. cannot watch the Dodgers.
And this was going on last year when it was Scully's last year.
Yeah,
couldn't hear him.
Right. Because at some point, and maybe they reached it at that in L.A., they reached it. At some point, the cable operators say, no, we're not paying you that much in terms of rights fees to carry the games anymore. We'll just block it out.
I guess that's what people feel like when the signal goes down on the podcast and they can't hear you on this show. Probably feels like the Dodgers fans who are missing out on Scully in his last last season.
Can you imagine how people in St. Louis would react if the cable outlets here said, you know what, we're not going to carry Fox Sports Midwest?
Well, that was remember the big ad? It happened this season. The call your cable provider and tell them not to.
Is that over or is that still going on?
I don't know, but it had the really pretty good ad where it showed the Cardinals game and then it faded to black.
Yeah.
Like you turned the TV off and you couldn't get the games.
Oh, yeah, we'd go into shock here.
It was Fear Factor.
Yeah.
There'd be riots.
Can you imagine the letters from Dorothy Light?
Oh, my goodness. Well, she wouldn't have to see Carlos's hair, so maybe that would be better for her to listen to it on the radio.
Well, one thing Dorothy knows is that the sponsor of the 7 o'clock hour is Design Air Heating and Cooling. It's served the St. Louis area since 1904. I mean, that's a long time ago, fellas.
Mm-hmm.
That's, more than 100
before
years.
Before you were born.
Well, a little bit. And they're the number one train dealer in Missouri. Seth Goldkamp and his family are fourth-generation owner-operators and really care about their customers. Now, Seth hasn't been around since 1904, but the company has, thank you. Get Design Air out to your home now and have them take a look at your air conditioning unit. And don't wait until it gets to be 100 degrees and you find your AC needs service, because that's a lot of time when it needs it. When you really need it, it gets up to 100 degrees, your air conditioner's really pumping out, and if you don't get it serviced now, you're going to have problems.
It's hot.
Have a technician come out and make sure you're ready for another St. Louis summer. Their techs have an average of more than 26 years of experience and more training with train systems than any other dealer in town. So there you go. Seth Goldkamp and his family. Design Air, the sponsor of the 7 o'clock hour.
You know, they're also donating 2% of all sales from Team A Audience to Three Little Birds for Life, Doug.
Yes, they are, which is nice.
It is very nice.
Which is just really nice.
You know what they say?
No.
It's hard to stop a train.
It is. Design Air, the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. And when we say train, we say T-R-A-N-E.
Choo-choo.
That's right.
One of the texters, Spartan44, says ESPN is kind of like the show when headliners like Tim leave. It's really boring and no one wants to listen, so they turn it off.
Okay, well.
I'm with him there.
How could you text in that?
You're on the show right now. You're talking on the show.
If that were true, he would have turned it off written that text.
I missed Timmy. What can I say?
I think he's texting without listening somehow.
We talked about sex trafficking. We talked about cargo shorts yesterday. Those are what people in the streets are talking about.
Hot button issues.
Hot. And we had two chicks call. And they
we
were
did
actually
have two.
Chicks.
We solicited. Like it. Yeah. We didn't solicit. That's a bad word on today's show. We asked women to call in, and two partook.
Really? Maybe the chicks that jumped in my car are listening. They can call in.
Perhaps.
Call in, big chick.
You didn't catch their names, though, did you, Iggy?
You didn't ask their names?
No, just Hooker 1 and Hooker 2 and Hooker 3.
There seems to be some disagreement about Iggy saying Craig Kilborn was in Wedding Crashers.
Wasn't he?
Well, I don't know. We're going to have to IMDb that, I guess, Plowsy, because some people are calling Iggy a liar. Shocker.
Oh, for heaven's
sake.
I
know. He was in, it wasn't Old School. Was it Old School? He was up in the bathroom. After he got married, he was in the...
Yeah, he's in that great scene. Wait.
I may have the movie wrong.
Suspense is killing me.
Well, I think it's Old School, is that...
Yeah, maybe it was Old School.
It was Old School. Sea Monster checks in.
Okay, I knew it was one of those.
Oh, well, thanks.
Just
but
another
I was
example
checking
of
it on my own.
Of Iggy kind of getting something maybe half right.
Well, it's not a lie. I just got the movie wrong. I knew he was in one of those movies with... Vince Vaughn and the other dude.
I typed him in on Google and
I don't believe Vince Vaughn was in Old School either, so I got
was. Just keep swinging it, you'll get it.
The second link is
he was in Old School, so I got Vince Vaughn right.
Sure.
The 12 douchiest movie boyfriends is the second link when you look him up, so he had a good part in Old School too.
Who's number one?
I don't know, I didn't click on the link.
No, you didn't click.
Yeah, I'm interested.
Oh, that's it. Now, because I remember what's his name, the girl that he cheated on was the one that he met at the wedding when he was drunk.
Yeah.
And she said, where are you living now? I'm living in Denver. Oh, the Sunshine State.
The douchiest movie boyfriends has to be Wedding Crashers, isn't it? The guy who takes out Vince, goes nuts in the football game at the wine party.
Harold and Kumar escape from I forgot where.
Of course you did.
Bradley Cooper was.
Yes, played that Bradley role, Cooper. Yes.
Yeah, that was a young Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, now he's getting ready to release A Star Is Born with Lady Gaga. Just wrapped up filming.
The what? Is that a movie?
The third remake of A Star Is Born.
Starring Gaga.
Gaga and Bradley Cooper, and Bradley Cooper directing for the first time.
No, she really
that
singing?
Will be a real thriller.
Yeah, she sang it. She actually said, I don't want to record this and then you play it while I'm singing in the movie. I want to do everything live, so just record it while I'm singing. That's how I want it to be in the movie. So,
does the meat dress make an appearance?
Oh, I would think so.
Has that been retired?
No, I've never seen either of the Star Born, not Streisand or the first one.
I think it's part of the title now. It's A Star Is Born, A Meat Dress. Just to let people know that this is the 2017 version.
You'll be laughing when she's nominated for an Academy Award, buddy.
I won't be watching.
No, I don't care much for the award shows anymore.
Doug will be watching ESPN, and it's liberal bias.
I won't.
He'll be watching the ESPYs. I really rooting for Caitlyn Jenner.
I don't. Yeah, that's where the liberal bias really kind of hit the meter. Full bore. Let's make Caitlyn Jenner. What was she, the athlete of the year?
No,
the
Arthur Ashe, and beat out a Marine who had three stints in Iraq and lost two legs.
Right.
And had a really inspirational story of him recuperating, and then he got
Bruce was a
tranny who doesn't even get his junk cut off. That to me is fake.
Oh, right, Plowsy.
Right.
Anybody can dress up in a dress, get some tatas, and put on some makeup and win an Arthur Ashe
award. And won the award for most inspiration.
I hate the Kardashians, but Caitlyn Jenner to me is worse than any Kardashian.
You don't know
ever.
What you'd do if you lived with the Kardashians, okay? So let's just maybe not cast stones.
Just move out.
Could they be that bad that you would change your sex?
You just don't know what you do.
He didn't change his sex.
You don't know what you do, Doug.
If you don't have...
You haven't lived that life. Have you seen them?
You put on a dress, you got some balloons on your chest, you put on makeup. That you're not change. You did not change your sex. If you don't whack it off,
Okay.
If you don't cut it off, it's... That to me is not a full deal.
It's not nice of Butch McGuire to call Lady Gaga a hack lip syncer. That's not nice.
Well,
he obviously knows nothing about music.
No, Butch McGuire doesn't know anything.
Why don't you call Peter Kessler and you two have lunch?
Well, who's Peter Kessler?
He's a golf guy, but he said Lady Gaga had no talent whatsoever and she was fat during the Super Bowl. And
one of the quotes, I'm not trying to be mean. She's just not good.
She's just talented and she looked fat, but I'm not trying to be mean.
Well, with all due respect, that's like saying with all due respect, you can say whatever you want.
With all due respect, I really like the guy, but he's such a douche.
Or you can always say, bless her heart.
Yeah, bless her heart.
She tried. She's not very good, bless her heart.
Yeah, she's not very good.
And then
good,
you just follow
tries.
It up with, I'm just saying. Yeah. That's how you do that.
With all due respect, I don't like you, but you're really a nice guy.
Just saying.
One of the texters points out that Caitlyn Jenner is a huge conservative and Trump supporter. Think about that, Doug.
Yeah.
That's from the 636.
She didn't name herself the most inspirational. ESPN did.
ESPN did to sell tickets, and that's why I have no problem with, her being... honored and giving respect for what she went through. And I'll be the first to say, hey, if to each his own, if that took courage for you to do that, I'm all for it. But my God, ESPN, just do it to sell tickets. I mean, that was embarrassing.
Yeah, get viewers. It was a little confusing, the sports angle. I was a little confused about that. 314 asks, apparently Kilbourne was also in the Rob Schneider, David Spade, Napoleon Dynamite Little League movie. Does anyone know what he's talking about?
No, I didn't see it.
Anybody?
Yeah, Benchwarmers, I think it is.
Oh, there you go.
I think I see it on TV every now and then. I don't remember his part in the movie, but I know that.
I don't see him doing anything else. Does he still have a talk show somewhere?
I don't know. You ran him out of town. He was there trying to get.
Oh, this
he was there trying to get an interview,
ago.
And you gave him the business.
He had the interview. He had the interview. This
and
is
you
like
sabotaged
20...
him.
I didn't sabotage it.
Mm-hmm. Said this is going to be Doug's big channel.
I had him in the wrong movie, so don't ask me.
Yeah, don't ask you anything. All right, well, I suppose we should wrap up the 7 o'clock hour here because we got a hot, hot segment coming up at 8 o'clock. WWE Recap with Larry Nickel. There's apparently some audio we have to get to, Plowsy, as soon as before Larry calls in. And then a lot to talk about with the Ball family on Raw last night. This has been the 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Zion Air Heating and Cooling, which is donating 2% of all sales from the TMA audience to Three Little Birds for Life. DesignAirService.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. We'll be right back here for more Ryan Kelly Morning After at the Gateway Buick GMC Studios here in a bit.